Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
I wish I had a pitch pipe. But you don't. So we're Orphan Wells, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Boom.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the guys of Orphan Wells. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Yo. Hi, Shane.
Hey. You guys want to go around the mic and introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Chris Bennett, and I'm the drummer for Orphan Wells.
I'm Brandon. I'm singer / guitar player.
I'm Christopher. I play bass.
Two thirds of you have been on the show previously.
I'm the newbie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, when I last spoke about Orphan Wells, it was still just Brandon. It was still a kind of a solo project, but it's cool to see that this is now became a full band, and we've got a lot going on. We got a new album coming out. We got some new music. We got a big release party. We got a lot happening for the band.
So. Yeah, our 1 year anniversary is getting pretty close.
It's cool that we'll start with Shattered Love. You guys just released the single out there. It's available on iTunes and Spotify and Bandcamp and all that stuff. Wherever you're buying your music today, you can find Orphan Wells' Shattered Love out there.
Trying to pretend I gave you all I had.
What I thought was cool is I was listening, checking out the your previous episode, and you did like the acoustic version of it solo with just yourself, and like, so for me as a fan of music, I love kind of how the evolution of music, you know, the song and stuff, how it starts with, you know, singer songwriter on guitar sometimes, or piano or whatever it might be, and then like, and then it develops into what we hear today on the record and stuff. So that's always really cool for me. So
yeah, definitely started like as just a folk song.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little variations. I listened to that one the other day too, the old episode that we did, and it's funny, there's a lot of like different dynamics and stuff, but you know, you bring it to more people and it changes a little bit more. So
yeah,
and my producer Matthew James, who produced this one, he helped a lot with that and changed it a little bit for the better, for sure.
Yeah, so. Of the Free Years, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's cool for the band members also. Shattered Love was actually a song that Brandon and I played in a previous outfit called Brandon Kreth and the Rest, and that was just him and I. He did the singer-songwriter thing. I kind of backed up on drums, and he mentioned this idea of doing Orphan Wells as a project, so he took about 6 months off or so.
Probably.
We didn't
like
play
that,
together
yeah.
for about 6 months.
And I was just writing.
Yeah, he was just writing, kind of getting all the ideas in his head on paper and kind of producing them and making them happen. And then, you know, last November, I think it was the day after Thanksgiving, was when Christo, Brandon, and I got together for the first practice, mm-hmm. and got to come together and finally hear that cohesion, hear those ideas. It went from a singer-songwriter, kind of a folky song, to this more eclectic, electronic kind of,
it.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. It's more electronic.
Indie pop. Is
indie
easy.
Pop,
yeah,
sure. But yeah, even as a band member, you could kind of hear the progression from what it was, you know, 6 or 7 months previous to what it was, you know, the 7 months later.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it sounds great. I was actually listening to it on the way over.
Cool.
Checking it out, getting in the, you know, the right frame of mind.
Headspace.
For the, yeah. So, but yeah, so check that out. This is, like I said, the single for, I guess, is it an EP or a full length?
It's five songs, so it's, calling it an EP.
Okay.
An extended play.
And it's just self-titled, so yeah. It's going to be the Orphan Wells EP.
All right. So we got, so this is the lead single from it, and then you guys, we got the big release party coming up here soon and leading into December 9th over at Off Broadway, right?
That's mm-hmm. right, with Pono AM, Poly Shades, and Christo's other band, The Fade.
Yeah,
they're going to be open for us. That's going to be a good one. Yeah,
pull some double duty.
Double duty. That
yeah,
it's going to be a good one.
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
You might as well just stay up there all night, just play with everybody.
That's what he's planning on doing. Yeah.
He's going to do interpretive dance for the other two.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
He's got some little shoes with bells on.
That's
them.
Right.
He's going to dance around. Yeah,
have one of those like ones with the little lacy thing on.
Pono AM said they'd only play if Christo did dance on the stage.
It was. It was.
We struck up a deal.
You're going to throat sing for Poly Shade,
right?
It's in their writer. So
that's right.
That and no brown M&Ms.
Yeah.
You know why they did that, right?
So people wouldn't fall through the damn stage.
Right, yeah. So they actually, like, followed through on other things. If they didn't have brown M&Ms, they figured other things would be out of place.
Yeah,
out of
it sounds kind of dicky at the time.
But really,
it makes sense.
Yeah. But then you have, one like, pop stars. Like I don't know, Beyonce or Mariah Carey only has white furniture in her, like, backstage area. And one of them has their living room recreated each time in their guest access area.
That's probably Jason Schwartzman. That sounds like a Jason Schwartzman.
Right.
Or, yeah, just some weird, yeah.
I always picture like the Spinal Tap scene where he's like, this bread, this miniature bread, I've been working with it for half an hour. And he's just folding this tiny little bread and he can't figure it out. I love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we need to work on our writer. We don't even have.
I thought it was.
I know that's why we need to work.
Okay,
on it.
Okay, let's work on it.
I thought it was a pack of Parliaments and a Gatorade.
Well, that actually, that's a pretty good writer.
Except you'd be the only one who smoked Parliament.
Whatever.
What flavor Gatorade?
Green.
Lemon lime.
Fruit punch. Damn it, we gotta
can't even agree on this.
We gotta end the podcast. We gotta regroup here.
just edit that out. We'll come up with it.
Right.
We're gonna need a variety pick.
Yeah.
That's right.
Fine. Three Gatorades, one bag of Parliaments.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I'm a big fan of the orange Gatorade. Pretty classic there.
It's a good one.
But, you know, I think what they said, Citrus Cooler. I think that used to be Michael Jordan's, like, favorite one.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that was, like, something like that.
They used to have that in the Bulls locker room.
Yeah,
something
like that. I don't know. I think at one time it was like something like titled, you know, called like Mike's favorite or something.
I don't think they really drink Gatorade anymore. It's like
just water pretty much now.
It's like water in Gatorade jugs.
Right.
Yeah.
But water brought to you by Gatorade.
But in reality, it's not really that if you're really exuding yourself. It's pretty much just water.
You guys remember that old SNL commercial where it was like shot like a Gatorade commercial? And like Will Ferrell's playing basketball, and then instead of the Gatorade, it was cookie dough.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is that where Semi-Pro came from?
Oh, probably.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like just squeezes the bottle like Gatorade all over his face, and it's just cookie dough. Like, oh.
Well, so, back in the day, it was like beer. Yeah. You know, Babe Ruth smoked cigars in the dugout in between. They didn't even care. And he'd go up and hit more home runs than anybody for the next 70 years.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah,
that's what was fun about those times. Like, you see all these guys, like, you know, they look nothing like our professional athletes today. Like,
right. Know, like, they don't have the chiseled frame and everything. Yeah, he would just go get, like, go up to the concession stand and get hot dogs during the game.
Right.
He had to do it himself.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. I'll go up there myself. They know me up there, so.
I think the same was, like, in basketball, too. Like Bob Cousy and all the, like, whatever. These guys were, like, smoking in the locker room and stuff and, you know, things like that.
It's Jim Leland. There's a shot of Jim Leland back in, like, the 80s when he was a coach for Detroit. He was, like, smoking in the dugout and flicking the cigarettes.
Keith Hernandez, too, in the, like, mid-late 80s there's a good one of him. They were in the playoffs, the Mets, and he's in there, and they weren't doing so well.
I'm pretty sure the Mets thought if, like, Keith Hernandez is only smoking cigarettes, that's the least of their worries.
Right. There's a really good story of him when he played for the Cardinals, and they were in a playoff game. I don't remember what year it was, but they weren't doing so well, and he struck out, went into the dugout. It was toward the end of the game. He gets into the dugout, takes his shoes off, takes his cleats off. He's like, yeah, it's over. Starts cracking open some beers, smoking cigarettes. He's watching the game on the TV. They start coming back. And they're starting to bat around the order, and he's like, I'm going to be up again. He's got a couple beers in him, smoked a couple cigarettes, and he gets up there, and I think he, like, hit a home run or something.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's just way different times, and that wasn't really that long ago.
Yeah.
About. That was, like, 1986 or something.
It's pretty great.
I know.
How times have changed.
I know.
Right.
I just saw three baseballs coming at me. I hit the middle one.
Yeah. Our Doc Ellis
pitcher. The Doc Ellis pitcher.
Yeah, no hitter on LSD. I love that one.
Yeah. This might be the most sports talk I've done on this show. We don't get into a whole
lot. I think everybody's okay with it. But
I don't know.
Yeah.
Go Cards.
I could literally talk about baseball.
Yeah, conspicuously quiet.
As we watch college football in the background.
Yeah.
I always think, too, of one of my favorite quotes from Brian Regan. And he talks about, like, one time his horn was broken on his car and he's like kept going off randomly, so like he was always like, go my favorite sports team. You know, like score a goal unit basket, and like, you know, so like it's pretty good. That's how I feel a lot of times with sports now today.
Yeah.
I was real big in like basketball and football, and I played and then I used to watch the NFL a lot, and I just kind of fizzled for me, like, and I watched a little bit of World Series. I get excited when it's like, you know, playoffs and
high
stuff.
Stakes.
Yeah, it matters. Stuff,
that was a really good World Series. We were just talking about that. It was like one of the better ones I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild series, man. Back,
I was rooting for the Astros from the beginning, too. Yeah. As soon as the Cardinals were out, I was like, yeah, Astros deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
Houston could use some good news for sure.
Right.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Rockin' Sports Podcast. It's Kurt
Warner. I'm going to need you to say that again one more time on the
That Marshall Faulk, you got it. That was a good one.
I love how your references are from like 15 years ago.
That was the last time I paid attention to the sports, was when the Rams won the Super Bowl, when it was Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk.
1999
or 2000. Yeah, I remember everyone in my, like, my third or fourth grade class had like Rams, like blues jackets and everything, and I went back in my yearbook once and I was like, why is it? Oh, that was when they actually were a team.
Yeah,
that was, and then, yeah,
good old. Well, you could argue that even 3 years after that, they weren't a team anymore.
I stuck with baseball for a little longer. Jim Edmonds, I remember, he was the guy.
You're getting a little later.
He was a baseball player.
He played, yeah.
He did.
He wore uniform stuff. He swung
the Sammy Sosa, the Mark McGuire's, you know. And I'm going to get a beer.
You go get your beer.
I imagine Christo's going to be like the old man, you know, talking sports, like, I wonder, you know, how's McGuire doing this year?
His Ryder's been dead for 30 years. Turns out creatine's really bad for you.
Is Ricky Prohl still in the league?
Oh, good old Ricky Prohl.
I was at the game where he made the catch.
Oh, were you?
The NFC Championship game, against the Buccaneers. We can stop talking about sports now if you guys want.
That's cool with me.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by
Gatorade.
Sports Ball. And Miller Lite.
And there you go. Yeah.
Trying to broaden our listener base.
Right.
What's the Miller Lite slogan? I guess just a fine Pilsner beer. They don't have a good one like it'll, champagne and beer.
It'll get you drunk.
What's the champagne and beer?
Miller High Life.
That's High Life, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Miller's just like fucking drink beer.
Yeah.
It's like
you
really,
want a cheap fucking beer, drink it. Yeah. It's really cheap and it'll get you drunk if you drink enough of it.
That's a Chappelle bit too, or Sam Adams when he's Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, good motherfucking beer.
Do you have to yell? Yeah, have you seen my movies? It's the way I talk.
It's amazing.
I was just watching
Shock ate me.
Jurassic Park this morning. He's so toned down in that one. That was like 2 years after Pulp Fiction. Yeah. That's like 2 years after Pulp Fiction when he goes from like the most, you know, flamboyantly loud to just like, I'm a dude who works at a desk. Yeah. Nothing to see here.
Chain smoking Marble Red 100s while typing away in a Commodore 64.
Dude, I swear to God, that cigarette ash. He never ashes it. And it's like the length of a cigarette.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It. Somehow he's keeping it still.
Well, I'm pretty sure, the flame goes all the way into the filter and just dissolves right there.
Well, it's one of the fake, probably Hollywood cigarettes, too. It's one of those, like,
what are they called?
Yeah, I've had those before. Those
really?
Taste like crap. Yeah.
It's
a whole new meaning to hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, the set of Mad Men, that's what they're smoking the whole time, is those weird herbal
cigarettes.
Yeah. Cigarettes. Yeah. It can't be good for you, though.
It's supposed to be better than, like, the actual nicotine cigarettes, because you're addicted to it.
But, I mean, as much as John Hamm probably smoked of that.
Oh, yeah, you smoked bottles of oregano at a time, that's
right.
That happens.
Anything you inhale is probably, you know, you could argue, whatever. I'm sure a doctor's not going to tell you it's going to be 100%. You're going to be fine! Yeah.
We're also sports and film critics.
There's been no medical studies done on smoking copious amounts of ragweed, but I'm assuming it won't be good for you.
So you guys, you said you recorded with Matthew James.
Yeah. I think we were his first. Well, he'd been recording the Free Year stuff for a while, but I think I was his first. And this, we started recording a while ago, probably last June, 2016. I think I was his first client, but yeah, we were originally going to do an album, but we just picked the best 5 songs that we had out of all of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, went from there. So Midnight Fade's going to be the first one on the EP, and that was the first one we started recording. And we kind of just did it for fun at first, and it just became an actual recording project for Orphan Wells.
Yeah.
So, and then the band kind of started a couple months after I started doing that, and now it is pretty complete. We're going to have a keyboard player, too, for our release show. Daniel Gillette from Monkey Girls is going to be joining us.
Cool, man.
On the keys.
Doing some guitar action, too.
Yeah, he's going to be playing some guitar, too. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's cool because the EP has a lot more, like, synth-based stuff on it.
Right.
And live, we've kind of been, like,
stripped down.
Yeah.
More of a rock and roll sort of show.
Yeah. So it'll be a really cool addition to really be able to represent the EP that well.
We've been playing with backing tracks on a couple of them, too, so we can eliminate that now that we'll have the synth and stuff like that, and you're happy about that.
Oh, yeah, drummers are always happy with backing tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was tough to figure out. We had a lot of technical difficulties. We played at the Sinkhole the first time we played there last year, or no, earlier this year, I guess March?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, they're a DIY space, and I wouldn't have expected them to be ready for us with backing tracks, and there was one where we had to shut the backing track off in the middle of it because we were all off.
I was like,
let's just, you know, cut our losses and go for it.
Despite that setback, though,
was a pretty good,
And, like, when we first started doing the backing tracks, like, I was really fighting with it, trying just, like, between hearing it and keeping everything else kind of all proportional in my brain, but like having done it over a period of time now, I wouldn't say I like doing it, but I've definitely come to accept it, and it's more of like a point of pride trying to be able to kind of.
I think it made us all better.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because given the opportunity, I'm going to speed up every song.
Well, you are a drummer.
Yeah, I think that's just like a drummer's mentality.
Right. Well, I mean, live, you know, it. Yeah, and that was one where we played with Poly Shades, who were playing at our EP release show.
And we actually, that was also, we had Dead Coast there too.
Yeah.
Which they were a band from the UK. They were really cool as well. I don't think they've come back through since then, but yeah, Poly Shades have kind of stayed on our radar the entire time. We wanted to play with them again.
We wanted to pick bands that we were fans of, you know?
Yeah.
If we could, and Pono Am was a good one too, that, you know, I played with Langoliers, I think, couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Corey Meyer's been around for a long time, and I've known him for a while, so. And we just played it at his, well, I think he does he own Main and Mill, or is he part owner or just work there?
I couldn't tell you.
We played one of their music showcases down there in Festus, and that was a really cool place. So Corey booked us there. But yeah, we just wanted to play with our friends, and obviously the Fade is awesome too.
They're alright.
Yeah, we played with the Fade a couple times too. It just works out. You don't have to. We can share gear and stuff like that.
Yeah, the gear share actually does make the show. Like,
cause is it strenuous for you though?
Honestly, no. Because Devin's bringing a bass. I'm bringing a guitar.
No, I mean mentally to like play mentally, with two bands. Does that drain you?
It's no worse than like a musical, like playing cello for a show where I'm there for like 3 hours playing nonstop. You know, it's kind of nice. Like, I could at least drink during this. So. Not that I need to. Not that I'm an alcoholic or anything.
Yeah, that's, I'm kind of worried about us playing last because we're always playing first, opening for bands. Like right. Us playing last, we're gonna be there for a while.
Yeah, they're like, Lauren's at 7. Like, I'm showing up at 10:30.
I've had some friends, you know, and like they'll throw a release party and then they'll open it up just because like they'll book bands that they just want to watch. So like they'll put on their part of the show early and then they can drink and watch all their buddies play and have fun. And
right. Kind of makes sense. Like, hey, it is a party.
There's so many ways to do it though. You know, we've been playing with a lot of out of town bands that are coming through and they'll want to play in the middle instead of last. Mm-hmm. And I'm so used to being the opening band and that's how you do the show, is the touring band plays very last, you know, but now it does make sense. But it's just hard for me to wrap my head around it because I'm so I'm so used to.
Yeah, I think the idea behind that is if you have a local band, then you kind of keep some of the crowd around.
Exactly. And you know what? I was like hesitant at first, but it makes sense and it seems to work.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well it works. I'm sure it does, but like, yeah, like from like that standpoint, it does at least logically make sense.
Yeah. Right. But if you're playing at like a smaller venue like Foam, I get it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you want people to stick around. You know, if it's like in the middle of the week. Yeah. On a Tuesday or Wednesday,
Or, you know, Sunday on a Father's Day.
Right. Yeah. I'm surprised that that actually turned out to be a decent drink.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you guys, that Father's Day show, so at one of my jobs, I was hanging out, like, doing my documentation, and a coworker was like, do you play around town at all? And I was like, yeah, I play these two bands. She's like, Orphan Wells? Did you guys play Foam, like, it was, like, on Father's Day? She's like, yeah, I was there.
As our fame.
Really?
Yes. So she was like, I've definitely seen you guys. Like, I've worked with this woman for, like, 2 months now. Like, wait, like, long after the show. But she still kind of remembered that. So, whether she remembered us because we suck or remembered us because we were awesome, who knows? But
yeah, don't ask her to qualify.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys were those idiots that decided to play on Father's Day, right?
Exactly.
Guilty as charged.
That's like one of my favorite feelings is like when someone's like, hey, you play in that band. It's like, fuck yeah.
I've had even weirder ones where a guy I work with, my buddy Drew, he was like, I think I saw you like 10 years ago at Cicero's. And I'm like, well, he's like, did you play a bunch of Violent Femmes covers? And I was like, yeah, that was me.
Probably.
Yeah, it's crazy. That was probably like 2006 or 7, something like that. R.I.P. Cicero's too.
Yeah.
That was a bummer. I was like, before I turned 21, that was a place to play, man.
You know, I didn't realize that Cicero's was actually where Blueberry Hill currently is. Like, for a period of time. That
early
was where
on.
Cicero's initially was. Mm-hmm. Like, that, and then, because I remember reading, like, they used to have shows in the basement, and I was like, that doesn't sound like Cicero's, it sounds like Blueberry Hill.
That was right before I started playing there. It must have been, like, 2004 or 5.
I can't remember what the year was, but yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was where the Duck Room is. That was the venue.
Duck Room's a great place.
Comes full circle,
too,
man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think they got a good thing going over there with the pageant and Delmar Hall and Blueberry Hill, like, the way that you can kind of...
Yeah.
They were talking about how, like, the kind of the idea behind it is to develop talent right there on Del Mar, you know, having a band can start at the Blueberry Hill.
And, graduation program, you know.
Del Mar Hall's a great addition. I always thought we needed a good, like, middle-sized venue.
Right.
Yeah. It's on the bigger side of that, but it's still, like, for so long, we didn't have a good middle-sized venue. It was either small, tiny clubs or the pageant, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a bummer that Cicero's had to close doors. And
I know. Their pizza was so good, too.
Yeah.
The demo closing last year was pretty...
Yeah, we only got to play there once, man.
That was a good venue.
Yeah. Yeah, now that's a...
That was a good...
It's like a beer place.
Like a beer store. Kind of, yeah.
Which, I mean, if the venue's got to go, I mean, you might as well put that...
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah.
Didn't they put all the gear there at the bootleg?
Yeah.
Isn't it all the same gear?
Everything we have. Well, and that's another one. The demo used to be where the bootleg was at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then went across the street. And then now the bootleg is now the bootleg, you know, so like it opened up.
All comes
so,
full circle.
Yeah, it was also, you know, a similar kind of thing. But,
that's a great venue. Bootleg's awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
bootleg's
great. That was our first show.
Yeah, our first
bootleg
show was
with Saundersway.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, that was our very first show. It was like March 3rd or something.
It was, yeah. We played like three shows in the span of a couple weeks there, which was a lot for us.
Yeah, I remember playing down there. I didn't realize it was our first show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How time flies, man.
That's great.
I was thinking, too, that's all that's up here is, like, quotes, movie quotes, and
go for it.
And comedy
I'm
stuff.
Say,
but
but
I was thinking of when Krista was telling that story about that she didn't say if you guys were good or bad or whatever. Like, there was a Mitch Hedberg line about that, like, how he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, man, I saw you before. And he's like, well, you never said if I was good or bad. And then he's like, he said he turned around and turned back around. He's like, hey, man, I just saw you a couple seconds ago. You were good.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Classic.
Oh, there's nothing better than Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
But the art to a one-liner is just so... It's tough.
Well, yeah. And if you burned out on Mitch Hedberg, go to Stephen Wright. Same kind of comedian. And he's still alive, too. So
yeah.
Guy on the couch.
Still, yeah, that's right. The guy on the couch. I've been the couch guy before.
Yeah.
For sure. I think everybody needs to go through that in their life, you know? Be the couch guy. Be a bum.
Makes you humble.
Yeah, makes you a little humble, yeah, for sure.
Such a great scene, too, where he takes a hit, and then he, like, just nods.
Yeah,
and goes
back
to sleep.
I can't remember Dave Chappelle's character in the movie, but he's like, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. You need to go. Like, you need to get off our couch? He's like, I'll be fine.
Yeah. So we also have another tune we wanted to share, and this is, you guys said this was from you did a little like live session.
Yeah, this is cool. This is actually done at Devin Kirsch's basement, bass player for The Fade. Kind of similar to our setup we have when we did the Fades podcast there.
Yeah.
We kind of set up the microphones. Your buddy was kind of I can't remember, what was his name?
Eric Peterson.
Yeah. He took some awesome photos of us at Sinkhole, too.
That's how we met him, yeah.
Yeah, he was doing some film stuff, and he offered to come and film us, so he had a couple of camera guys and a sound person come down down to the dungeon, and we recorded a live set down
there. Three-song live set, yeah. We did High Horse and Shattered Love, which are both going to be on the EP, and then Creature Comfort is going to be on a future release of ours, so that's the one more.
Yeah, any story around that tune, the lyrics or anything, you guys?
Lyrically, it's actually, it's kind of going, let's go from something very happy to a very weird, dark subject, but it's actually about heroin. Not that I've ever used heroin, but I've just known a lot of people who've, you know, succumbed to illness of drug addiction and drug abuse.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of about, like, how it's so hard to get over, you know, once you've done it. Even just one time, so. to St. Louis.
A little dark. It's a little dark lyrical, but it's a fun kind of garage rock.
Sure, man.
Sound and song. So.
It was written before Arcade Fire.
Yes,
song.
That should be.
Yeah, there's a song. Their new one of their newer singles on their new album is called Creature Comfort. But bitches, we wrote that first.
But I'd like to point out that album got terrible reviews. So
yeah, I didn't even listen to that song.
But it's
on
principle, so he can do what he wants.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I don't think I don't. Is there a Creature Comfort about heroin also?
It better not be. Bastard.
You better see if your house is tapped.
Yeah, it's about a guy writing a song about heroin. That's what it's about.
Butler
it's actually about me writing the song. Right.
They wiretap my house.
You know, it actually wasn't until recently. This is going to sound stupid, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful. It wasn't until recently that I actually started listening to your lyrics. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, you have a lot more focus on
in the past. It's been like I kind of show up and noodle around in the bass, you know, but then, like, actually hearing as we receive the demos, like, the different mixes and masters that we get coming in from our guy who's mixing and mastering, and that's Tommy.
Tommy Patsias, yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing all the mixing and mastering for us, but I'm actually getting a chance to kind of sit back and, like, oh, those lyrics are actually, like, I like that, you know, like, I've never really, like, even when I sing on a song, I've never really thought about the words until I've actually been able to, like, sit down and listen to it, apart from me moving my hands and fingers with it. So that's been a cool experience.
Well, there's a lot more that goes into live performance, too. And it's just
your mind's just somewhere else.
Your mind's somewhere else, yeah. Well, like, when I'm playing live, I think we talked about this on the last podcast, like, I could write a really, really dark song, but at the same time, like, I have to sing it, and I can't let, like, my emotions get to me.
Right.
Like, if I let that happen, I'd be a train wreck. So, like, I'm just on autopilot singing.
Yeah.
You know? The words have been there. They're there. Yeah. I've sang them a million times. I still forget lyrics, though, so
yeah.
It happens for sure.
Well, sometimes you need some of that, though. Some, like, you know, that's what people connect to, that emotion, though. So, like, you know, I mean, probably maybe not some of the stuff, but, I mean, there are those songs and those instances where, you know, you have to put that emotion into it every time. And
you have to straddle a line
and deliver it.
Yeah. I can't be completely robotic and just sing. So, yeah, there's definitely, and there's tricks you can do, you know, as a vocalist. You can put different emphasis on certain words, you know, emotionally. And I definitely change it up sometimes when we play live. I hit different melodies. I hit different notes just to, honestly, just to make it more fun for myself, you know, change it up a little bit. So,
and I think the playoff what you're talking about, you know, not being too overcome by the emotions you put in the song. I think one of the guys, or two of the guys from Foxing, was talking about that, how when they first got big by doing the Albatross album, and like having to play that album pretty much cover to cover because it was the only material they had, night in and night out for like 6 months they were touring around the globe, like really, really took a toll.
Really heavy lyrical.
Yeah, yeah. Material. I mean, they had to relive those experiences that helped make that album lyrically.
Didn't they have PTSD from...
From my understanding,
that's heavy,
I don't want to
speak.
Yeah, but he talks about it on the first track of the Dealer album. About he made a living off of drowning, they mentioned Albatross, and then the song Indica was about his PTSD coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm sure every time you sing it, you know, it's like picking a scab. You know, it's like still hurts. You know, but
right. And then Shattered Love was about a breakup, so... But, I mean, that was years ago, so it's a little easier. But, like, that, you know, Creature Comfort, like, going back to that one, it is super dark, but, like, I swear, like, every 6 months, there's somebody who I, like, went to high school with that died of, like, an opiate overdose, and it's just... That just doesn't get any better, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird time, like, right now, like, people are either dying or, like, having babies, and I feel like I'm so in the middle of all that.
I am too, yeah.
You're not dead.
I'm just sitting here writing songs about people who die.
Yeah. I'm still alive and I'm babyless, so it's like, okay, I'm gonna keep playing bass.
You need to tell me right now, on air, what kind of bass you just got.
On air, 2015 American Jaguar bass, man, Fender.
That's awesome.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Is it as good as like a Jaguar car? I know nothing about it.
It's like better than that.
Oh, is it really?
Are you going to say it like Jaguar and be a douchebag?
Jaguar.
Yeah.
It's a Jaguar.
Hey, can I try my best at my Jaguar? Yes, of course.
Brandon was telling me that you wouldn't tell him what it was earlier, so I was guessing it was like an actual Paul McCartney Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
Rickenbacker, he's holding out. Rickenbacker was considered.
You want to tell your story about also how you couldn't get it? You were supposed to get it today?
Oh, but this is the biggest.
This is such
I posted
a
status about this earlier. This is like a layer of hell, I swear to God. Like, so I ordered this bass off Reverb, which is like the eBay of music equipment, and it's like.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Check it out, dude.
It's Reverb.com, man.
Reverb.com.
It's good stuff.
I mean, that's initially where I got my current bass. And so I ordered this bass. And to be fair, it said it would be delivered by Monday. But then I get the notification today that it's in Belleville, where I live. And so I was like, can I go get it? Like, fuck Monday.
It's
like,
right down the street from
there. Yeah, it's like less than 15 minutes from my house. So I get up at like 7 o'clock this morning, and I was like, I gotta call them. They weren't open. So, like, I waited another, like, hour and a half, and then I called them. And it turns out I called, like the packing place where you can, like, go and mail a package. I was like, hey, can I... basically was like, hey, can I pick my bass up? They're like, what are you talking about? I was like...
All we have here is styrofoam peanuts.
Exactly, yeah. I was like, well, I got a notification from UPS that, like... I didn't want to say from you, fucker. Right. I didn't want to tell them it was a bass because I'm very paranoid that they're going to think like, oh, I'm going to steal that bass now, which would never happen. But I was like, yeah, I got a notification that my package is like there. Can I just come and get it? And they were like, no, man. I was like,
we got to dig through like thousands.
Well,
of
yeah.
Packages.
So I was like, is it just a busy day? She's like, well, first of all, the customer service desk at the warehouse is like closed on Saturdays. Then also, it's probably just sitting on the back of a truck with 1,000 other boxes waiting to be sorted.
Did you offer to help him?
Well, I was like...
just give me the keys, I'll figure it out.
I was like,
I'll put
like,
in a few hours worth of work.
I literally was like, is that like an all-day thing? Like, I wanted it so badly, like... So I'm like pissed. I have to wait till Monday to get it, so... But
it's going to be sitting right down the street from you for a couple days,
yeah. Exactly, yeah. So it's like, I have to wait all day tomorrow. Like, the beginning of the podcast here was like checking it to see like maybe if it went out for ship. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But it's going to be here on Monday, and I'm worried on Monday. Like, I'm at work. Natalie's like going to Disney with her mom, so it's going to be like sitting on my porch, and I'm terrified of that. So then I'm going to like call all of my brothers and be like, hey, can you like drive by my house and see if there's a base in the porch? If so, like put it in my house.
Yeah.
So I'm so like, I've got a good neighborhood. Not worried about anything. But... I don't want to speak ill of Belleville, but a man was just, like, murdered. Like, I'm on 39th Street. The man who was murdered was on, like, 74th. So, not that murdering equals stealing, but...
But if you've murdered someone, stealing a package
exactly, it's probably nothing.
Yeah, so, it's not a big deal.
I bet you that murderer has mortals.
Yeah.
You don't steal anything.
No, man. All I do is kill. I don't steal.
Yeah, it was interesting. When I first bought that bass, I bought that bass long before Orphan Wells. I was just like, oh, I need a bass, like, to have around the studio if I have, like, a bass.
Your one line. You have now?
Yeah. It was more just like, if I need to noodle around and figure something out. And then, like, a month later, Brandon was like, hey, do you want to play bass? And I was like, yeah, sure, I have a bass. I have that.
I have all the tools necessary to do this.
Yeah.
And,
well, your brother, Kevin, who's in Summer Magic, Kevin Bachman, said, I messaged him. I was like, hey, man, I'm trying to put a band together. Do you know anybody who plays bass? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, my brother's doing big things right now, so...
I don't know what that means.
But
he mentioned you were playing with Legos.
Because I was not doing any big things at that time.
Well, you're way too humble because you're like a cello aficionado. And also play... Well, there's some cello by Christo, some saxophone on the EP, so there's a lot of little... Good ear candy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to record.
Yeah. I was just handing you instruments to play.
Right. By the way, Cello by Christo is going to be the name for his cologne.
That's right.
By Christo.
But it's going to be CELLEAUX.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Did you spill my beer? No, we're good.
I did spill your beer.
But it was...
Paper towels!
When I bought like that initial bass, like this project was not in mind at all. He did. So then, like, recently I was like, man, I need to get a better bass.
God, we're morons.
So that's why it was, like, time to cut the shit and, like, get a good bass, so.
Beer is currently being cleaned right now off the carpet.
Yeah.
Give you a play-by-play of cleaning up beer that I spilled.
I'm a nice ass. Yes.
Yeah, that was a good team effort. I mean, I've got the beer, you spilled the beer, Chris cleaned the beer.
And so. I got my new one, so right. I'm good to go.
I feel like I'm getting the shit out of this deal.
You gotta play the drums. Actually, it'd be Chris provided the beer. Christopher's drinking the beer. Brandon
actually,
spills the beer.
No, he provided the beer. But I did leave a lot of beer here once, so I don't feel as bad.
That one time?
That one time.
When you said Jaguar, reminded me of... I had a 16, had a 88 Crown Vic station wagon that I, I hadn't been driving very long, and then I had to go to, like, Creve Coeur or something to visit my dad at job site he was working on, and he, so anyway, I was, like, unfamiliar with the area and all the stuff, and whatever happened, like, everybody slammed on their brakes, and I couldn't stop in time, and I end up hitting this car in front of me, happened to be a Jaguar. And
I was
but I didn't damage his car. Like, his bumper hit my grill. I had a fiberglass grill on the wagon, and so busted it all out. And
yeah,
but his car was wasn't a mark on it.
Really?
Wow. And then, but apparently they said I bumped his car into this other car. It was
it was a Bugatti. Yeah,
Bugatti.
And then of course I get a letter from their lawyer that they're having neck pain and all this stuff, and I'm like, I didn't even knock the dirt off of the bumper.
Was it brown and brown?
Yeah.
Did they use brown and
brown?
I'll
show you neck
pain. Yeah.
Right. What's the one scene in Breaking Bad where Saul's fitting the guy with the neck brace?
Right.
He's got all these neck braces in his office. Yes. Just slime ball lawyers.
Next to his 14 cellular phones.
Right. The whole drawer full of burner phones.
Speaking of Brown and Brown, have you guys watched those infomercials they do at night?
Yes.
Travel
and I swear
around?
To God, the dude, his eye patch changes eyes. I swear to God. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. It was on his right eye for a couple months, and then he did another commercial. It's on the left eye. And the whole thing is you know our law offices. My brother's the one with the eye patch.
Yeah,
right. So, that's their calling card is, the best three eyes. And
yeah, that eye patch.
Can you imagine what you said that to your brother? You know my brother's with the eye patch. Fuck you.
They did one. I heard one the other day. It was my brother's the one without the eye patch. So it was the dude with the eye patch who was doing it.
So I've never seen these infomercials. What's the deal with these?
They're on there for an hour.
Yeah,
what? Just talking about cases they've done. And
Lately, some of them they've been, going to... I saw them when they were in Main Street St. Charles or whatever, and they were talking about some of the history of different things in St. Charles, and I was you have that much exposable income, you hired a film crew to go follow you around to talk about different things.
Yeah, it's not even advertising or documentation of your life.
You know how many drunk driving accidents we've done in St. Charles?
So he goes they went to St. Charles High School, and here's the high school, and then they went to one of them. They went to what's the mall? Jamestown Mall, I think.
Jamestown.
It was.
Oh yeah,
the
close, gone now.
Yeah, yeah. So he's outside of there. He's we used to spend a lot of time here as kids. Is this necessary? Is this what
why do we care? Yeah. Why does anybody care?
You want to have a good relationship with the person representing you, I guess.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, we used to go over to St. Charles Rockford. There's a place called I got this. It was a Mexican restaurant. There was two of them. Now there's only one. Acapulco. It was called Acapulco Lounge, right? And we went there, so we knew this waitress. And we were 15 or 16. We'd drive there after school, and they had a cigarette machine. She'd let us buy cigarettes. And then I think we did maybe get one small beer or something along with our food. But I'm there, right? And it's happy hour time, 4:30, 5 o'clock. And the Brown and Brown guy, the guy with the eye patch. So just Brown.
This is before he had his eye patch.
No, he had the eye patch.
He was born with an eye defect.
So he's at the at this Acapulco Lounge, and he's playing pinball. He's there having a beer, hanging out, then goes to play pinball. While he's playing pinball, there's two Mexican guys at the bar, and they get into an altercation, and one of the guys pulls out a knife.
Nice.
You saw this all in front of you.
Oh, yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, this is my eyes. So...
My eyes.
I'm bragging now. My eyes.
Yeah, right. Not I.
Yeah, so they kind of struggle, and the guy with the knife gets pushed back into the pinball game.
Into Mr. Brown.
Right, and it ruins the pinball game for him.
It's Dr. Brown.
Yeah, and then finally they wrestle the knife out of him, and they kicked him out of the bar. I realize this story would have been much better if had it been he had both good eyes and the knife went into
his eye. Oh, yeah, that's how he lost the eye. Oh, man. The origin
I should have
story.
Totally lied.
God, if I was him, I would never stop talking about that. Yeah, that is my calling card. That's how I lost
the
eye.
Story's not necessarily as good if you see you had two men getting a knife fight.
Somehow it works.
And the
ground
and ground
guy
was just in the vicinity, but yeah.
There was one, I think it was that St. Charles one. See, it's like it's like you don't want to watch it, but you can't turn it off. Like I said, I get there stuck watching it, and I'm like, why am I watching this still? Like, but it's fascinating just to see how these two guys like make the dumbest jokes the whole time.
Right.
But there was one that surprised me because they're sitting there like on the streets of St. Charles outside like the courtroom or whatever it was, and the one with the eye patch picks out a mandolin and he starts like playing like he's like yeah like huh. You know playing mandolin at times. You know,
was
like,
he good?
I don't
know. Does he use the eye patch as a pick?
Probably. But it was just such a random thing. Like, he was sitting there, oh, hey, here's my mandolin. Hold on. And,
right.
Like, you know,
just out of nowhere.
Let me,
yeah.
Let me plug
I couldn't possibly play jazz for the
I need to
though.
Watch these right. Now, man.
I'm not prepared.
Right. But, yeah. Anyway, those guys are definitely interesting characters.
They're a gem of St. Louis. Yeah.
Somehow they've gotten, have you heard their phone numbers?
It's like 888.
If you're in Illinois, dial all 8s.
It's like the movie thing where it's all 5s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Interesting thing. I was.
Wow, he is playing a man. We're looking at a picture of this brown man. Not that sounded way politically correct. The brown and brown lawyer man. Playing mandolin.
He looks official playing that.
Yeah, on the 555 thing, Natalie and I, we were watching Hocus Pocus the other night.
And they don't do that.
And it was a 555 blanked out number.
I saw that. I was never watching the same.
Because they didn't do that
back then. Well, I was reading
early
it later than
right?
I used to,
yeah,
but by the time that, by now, that five, like,
that's an actual number.
All movie numbers are 555 numbers. Not all numbers. Or not all fake numbers, or not all... I can't talk right now.
So, all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. There are 555 numbers that are real, but not all fake numbers are 555 or something. I don't know. So, basically, the number that was there was put into circulation, like, in 97. You know?
Right.
How would you have liked to have been those folks and found that out the hard way?
What like, else? Can you imagine if Tommy Two Tones 8675309 was bleeped out? It was like 8675B every time on the chorus.
What is he saying?
Well, that's,
he's got a foul mouth,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's that story though. Somebody really did have that number.
Yeah,
and people would always call it all the time as a goof, like. You know, calling Tommy Two Tone, calling
right.
Jesse's girl, and
well, people
whatever.
Still have that number. I did that when I was a kid, and most people were really pissed. But there was one lady who just laughed whenever I was like, because I would call him and I'd play the song in the background. And this one
That's
lady
awesome.
Would just like, blah, 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 how can I help you? And she started laughing.
Do you remember the rejection hotline?
I do. It was
like a fake phone.
Yeah, that was great.
That was big on the MySpace days, yeah.
That was
yeah.
hilarious. That was probably the greatest thing ever, really.
Yeah,
I said
ever.
Big time burn. I never got burned by a girl with that, but I heard about it. You know.
Sure.
Sure. We'll go with that.
We all believe you.
Actually, you got burned.
Hard to win. Times.
I said it was Jesse's girl. Jesse's girls was Stacy's mom and her number was 8675309. Mind blown.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Power pop.
That's
nightmare
awesome.
Right there.
We should find a way to match all three of those songs together at our EP release show.
There you go.
Well, we can do this.
Do that.
We'll figure it out.
Actually, the EP release show is now canceled. We're just going to do a cover show.
Right,
yeah.
Obscure 80s hits in one night.
One hit wonders?
Yeah.
There you go.
Do that.
Can you consider Fountains of Wayne a one hit wonder? Pretty much.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I really like that one album, though. Whatever it's called.
One
oh, you were the guy.
I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
Yep. We'll get involved with Orphan Wells all over your social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow along at the website. Head over to orphanwells.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Do it. And he said if you Google Orphan Wells, it's you're right there.
Only
right?
thing that comes up, yeah.
Unless you Google Orson Welles, then we're buried.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just get it right.
My first band was called, one of my first bands was called The Impact, and if you Google that, it's not the first thing that comes up. So good. Actually, I don't think it ever comes up, probably. But yeah, so
interesting fact, it was either Orphan Wells or Glad Pitt.
Glad Pit may still be a thing. Stay tuned on that. We might be doing a punk side project.
Is that like that?
We'll see.
The Zwan side of Billy Corgan, the Glad Pit.
Yeah.
We'll play heavy music.
Speaking. Okay, one more thing. Billy Corgan. Have you heard his latest thing he's been saying?
No, but I heard he's kind of turned into like Alex Jones, right?
I've seen this. So he was on InfoWars last year.
Are you serious?
But yeah, and so he's a conspiracy guy. But his latest thing. He said he swears that he saw a person in the music industry turn into a reptile.
He's one of the reptilians.
So he believes in like shape shifting. He says he swears he saw.
Well, that's not that far out of the. I mean, Snoop Dogg turned into an actual dog in his music video. So
that's true. All
right, I think that we should.
That's true.
I also turned into a lion. I think at one point
too. He did a lot of things. Snoop Dogg is quite the.
Shapeshifter.
That weed he's smoking, man, is turning him into something else.
Something else.
Yeah. What I saw that he's not Billy, he's William Corgan.
He's William Patrick Corgan.
Yeah. Yes, WPC is what he goes by. Right. Yeah.
Man, when he kicked everybody out of the band, it was over for me.
I just think it's always a funny thing to me to think about, like when is that, where do you hit that mark, like, I'm not Billy anymore, guys, I'm grown up now.
Like, yeah. Everybody knows you 50. From, now, yeah. You're, yeah. Yeah. Now you're William?
Yeah.
He was like 50, yeah, he was 50 when he decided that.
Well,
if I wanted to be on Alex Jones, I had to grow up.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, like I said, we check out the music. We got those. Also, along with the release party, December 9th, with the Fade, Poly Shades, Pono AM. You guys will have new merch available that mm-hmm. night.
Got t-shirts ready to go. We'll have a physical copy of a CD version of the EP, so
everything will be digitally released.
We'll
that
be
night
on
as
iTunes,
well.
Spotify, Grindr, Tinder, all that stuff.
That's right.
And
I have to make that joke every time. I know you guys.
It's a staple.
You guys are so true of it.
My wife said that the other day, like, I made some dumb joke. She goes, you always say that. I was like, it's one of, like, three jokes I have.
Right. It's like the one that kills.
It's burned into my identity.
Yeah. It's my only joke that kills when we're playing live shows. Right. I have to do it.
And shout out to Bosler Screen Printing, right?
Okay. That's right.
Matt helped.
Matt turned those around really fast. He's awesome.
Super high quality. They look great.
I also loved his smooth thing. He did it off Broadway. I was there.
Yeah,
he played smooth. I think 13 times, maybe 12.
In his Hot Wing Challenge show.
He's been killing it lately.
He's providing a much needed service.
That was like the best cover of smooth I've ever heard. I'll just
which
I'll
one?
Say.
The fifth one? The first one?
I think he really hit his stride around the seventh or eighth.
Did he do like three encores too?
Yeah, amazing. It was great. After the first
I
one,
love that.
After the first one, you know, they played smooth. First one, he goes, "You guys didn't really think we were gonna play this 10 times in a row." He's like, "You know, I just wanted to drag you all here to hear my new songs," and he played smooth again.
That's
you know?
Amazing.
I heard he was like stuff like this one's an original or something like that. And then when it, like,
oh yeah, he had a new thing every time.
Like a shtick for every time.
It was great. It was so good. And the opening bands kept teasing like they were gonna play it. He would go up and say, "No, you gotta wait until we play."
That's awesome.
Well, I think
it was performance art. Really, it was like a live meme, and it was a beautiful thing.
I think, didn't Brother Father dress up as
that
Carlos Santana?
Yeah, they dress up like him in, like, every other song. Maybe they would do the like, the beginning, the drummer would play it, and then Matt would come up and say, "No."
Can you imagine having to be the guy, the poor sap, to dress up as Rob Thomas?
Right. Yeah, and then also Matt just ate 20 tacos the other day on Facebook Live.
Jack in the Box tacos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I've done that before,
but
I don't think
I was coherent enough to be on Facebook Live when I did it. So.
Again, another St. Louis gym right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He absolutely is.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's always making me laugh with that.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah, so. But yeah, get out there and support Matt with his music and his t-shirts and all the things he's up to.
Primarily Matt's t-shirts with our names on it.
Yeah.
That'd
be the best way to support
buy those.
That'd
be a great way to support.
I got bills to pay.
Mouse to feed.
I got
tiny dog mouse.
Right. I just got bills to pay.
Alright, well thank you guys. I will see you real soon.
Yeah, thank
Sounds
you.
Good. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.